Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and me, your host, Link Flores. It is a it's a day. Today is Wednesday, February 11th, 2025. Thank you, first of all, very much to everybody who's been supporting the podcast over on Patreon at patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. Your support really does make this show go round, and I can't thank you guys enough. I really do want to get some new episodes up, and I want to put together like a contest and possibly, if I can get it together, some merch for the people out there. If I can get that done, I'm working on stuff like that this month, so you won't be seeing me stream as much over on Twitch at twitch.tv/linkib, because I'm going to be working on revamping the look of my Twitch channel. And doing some other merchandising kinds of things, including upgrading and updating the current merchandise that I have on my Streamlabs store. And that also means like putting together some work for Wandering One Studios in particular. So you probably will see some, you're definitely going to see the, dropping them all up pans. You'll definitely see some new additions. You'll see some new podcast stuff. And I'm also trying to, reshape the format, see if something works, something doesn't, and get that all put together and, help you guys, with your guys' help, actually, create the kind of content that you want to listen to. So again, please feel free to follow me over for free at patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. It's $3 if you'd like to support the channel and the stream, so I would really appreciate it. If not, like I said, follow along for free. Send me emails, comments, questions, stories, whatever. I'd like to read your emails and your feedback would be very much appreciated. And it's always read and understood. So you'll know that I've read it. yeah, we're going to get it. Speaking of that, I do have a minor beef. And I'm pretty sure that the people whom this would apply to probably aren't listening anyway. It's a weird thing. Like we've talked about it before that like, you can be super supportive of other people and you're not really requiring anything from them, but they'll give you literally nothing in return. And I don't think that, your support or care or concern for an individual need necessarily be transactional, but it could at least be appreciated, right? I know, and people are like, what are you talking about? What do you mean? I'll give you an example. This is a personal example, so yeah, it's very personal to me. When I do streams over on Twitch, once a month, I will do a little giveaway. Because I have people who do subscribe, and even though I've encouraged them, hey, it's better for you to just donate. I can figure out a different metric to, kind of pull people in for drawings and whatnot. Maybe I'll do like a raffle style thing instead, where instead of having to be subscribed, you'd have to actually go into the channel, participate, and be like, hey, I won a raffle kind of thing. I signed up to be a part of this raffle, which honestly would raise engagement. I've tried not to do that because not everybody can. And subscribing is one. It's a way to financially support the channel, at least to a certain degree, as long as, I get half of what comes in and Jeff Bezos and Amazon take the other half and Twitch, They're all kind of in cahoots together, so they take half the money. But I was like, it's a way for people to not have to, maybe they can't watch all the time. Maybe when I would stream my content and my gameplay and my chit chats and whatnot with the people, they're not able to watch. That happens. Some listeners and viewers and that are on the other side of the planet, basically. So when I would start doing stuff, like they're just going to bed. You know what I mean? They're like, I've been at work all day long, or they're already in the middle of their sleep time. You know what I mean? So I figured the subscribing thing was good enough until, like I said, slowly, these streaming services are taking more and more and more from the streamers and giving back less and less and less, not only to the streamers, but to the communities that help make the service work. But all that to say, that was me going off again. We go off on tangents here sometimes, but back to the subject is when I do one of these giveaways, it's usually not anything gigantic. Occasionally, I do this about like every quarter. So like once a season, I will, throw together a big box giveaway, where I either give away like a prize package that I mail to somebody with a bunch of like gamer geeky related stuff. Or, you know, I'll get like a, you know, $40-$50 gift card for, you know, three lucky individuals who'll get like, they'll win a big prize. That's a way of it, basically me saying like, hey, thank you for coming to support my channel, whether it's big or small. Thanks for supporting my channel. Thank you for taking a little bit of money out of your pocket to put into mine. And here's a little something that comes back, and doing it randomly helps. Because, you know, nobody gets accused of, oh, it's rigged. I'm like, not. I have a whole thing where I spin a wheel and pull names. And, you know, you can't win multiple, you know, back-to-back ones. The only time you can do that is, you know, if you win in if you won in November, you could win in December. Look, I'm not going to kick anybody out of a Christmas giveaway, right? That kind of thing. But I've noticed over the years that after I send people their gifts or prizes or whatever, I usually send them, like, if it's a code, I'll send it through the email or whatever. I won't even hear so much as a peep. Not a thank you, not a hi, this is awesome, or what the fuck is this, nothing. And I'll be honest, to a certain degree, that actually kind of hurts my feelings a little bit. It's almost like I get that you've paid into this, but I'm also giving back to you too. And just as I'm grateful for you, you could at the very least acknowledge that this happened. I'm not asking you to be effusive. You know, I don't need you to tattoo the name of my channel on your firstborn child or anything like that. But it would be nice to just be like, hey, thanks for the gift card. Boom, done, simple. It's also an acknowledgement that you got the thing. You know what I mean? Because what has happened before, and it's happened in the past, is when people don't acknowledge that, then that prize goes unclaimed. And after it sits for a long enough time, I'll cancel the transaction. I'm like, well, what happened? Well, you didn't bother to say anything. And I don't know if I got, if you know, if you don't say anything, I'm assuming it got delivered to the correct person. I don't know what you got going on. You know what I mean? But like, if you're not going to acknowledge it, I'm just going to sit there. That's money on the table I could just put back into the stream. Like, you know, here's the other thing too. And it's not to be, unkind or anything like that. I'm not obligated to do this in the first place. If anything, like, these drawings and giveaways actually cost the channel more money than they bring in. Like, I very rarely hit, like, a net positive for the month over, you know, what I spend out versus what I take in every month. It's very rare. Without having, like, hundreds of viewers on Twitch, or at the very least an average of, like, 50 to, you know, 75 on any given day, the subscriber revenue, the ad revenue, that just doesn't come. So it ends up actually costing me over the course of the year to do these kinds of things. So I've started to consider pulling back on them and just only doing one every quarter. Just because, one, if you get a package in the mail, I make the delivery company make you have to sign for it. So at least, at the very least, if you don't say anything to me, I know that it got received, right? I had to do that too, because once a package got stolen, and there was no way to replace it because they didn't have anybody to sign for it. And I didn't make it be, you know, I didn't make that a thing. Because like, it adds more money to the shipping cost. Well, it's better to have that little bit of extra insurance so that I can send a claim against it. They send me a check back and I can go ahead and be like, all right, cool. I need to go and do the entire thing over again. And it covers me for, you know, in the odd chance that something gets stolen, I can replace it. But yeah, I'm thinking I might end up like, you know, cutting that thing out entirely and maybe only doing like one every quarter, because it'll be a lot cheaper for me. And then two, like, I'll know that somebody got their prize because I won't have to be bothered with like sending them an email and letting them know this is their code. And I did that and the other. And here's the other thing, because Xbox has been so fucking amazing lately with the way that they've screwed up Game Pass, but also their own online store. I've sent multiple emails to them regarding why I can't, for some reason, buy Xbox currency online. And they're just kind of like, well, it just doesn't work. So that means if I get an Xbox request, you know, someone's like, hey, I'd rather an Xbox gift card. I have to go to a store, find the thing, pick it up, and, you know, send it, scratch it off, send them the code, hope that it works. And then in the one instance I've had it where it didn't work. But because they had scratched it off and used it, you know, they were like, well, we're not going to refund that money. And so I was just out. Myself and the person who won the prize were just out that money. Yeah, so that kind of headache, I can alleviate all that stress for me and just be like, I just don't do it anymore. You know what I mean? It's kind of fucked up, man. I hate feeling that way, but it feels like, you know, it's one thing I really have a problem with is when people don't show any appreciation for shit that's done for them. You know what I mean? Like, you don't, like I said, you ain't gotta glaze me. You ain't gotta, you know, you don't have to blow me up. I don't need my ego inflated, but a simple acknowledgement and a thank you would be, I mean, it's the barest of human decencies, human kindnesses, you know, it's just the barest minimum acknowledgement of, hey, you did a nice thing for me. Thank you very much. You know what I mean? That shit, it does aggravate me. I try not to get upset about it, but with there's so many crazy things going on in the world and you're trying to combat all this, like the things that happen to you actively day to day in your life, the things that are happening all around us just as human beings, I'm not asking for a lot. You know what I mean? Like I said, I'm not asking you for you to get down on your knees and suck my toes. I just want you to be like, hey, thanks. That was nice of you. Great. You have no idea how a little tiny acknowledgement like that can actually change the trajectory of a person's just day. Who knows how many of those little kindnesses can change the trajectory of a person's life, but just changing the trajectory of somebody's day could be enough. You know what I mean? Just something as simple as somebody holding open the door for you when you walk in, you go, hey, thanks. And you see that little glimmer of recognition, like I've been recognized, I've been seen. Like that little light clicking on in somebody's head could be the thing that keeps them from, hey, you know, the reason I was holding the door open is because I know we're going into this, you know, this office building. I was going to climb all the way to the top and throw myself off, but somebody just being nice to me gave me a little bit of extra. All right, I can handle this for another day. That's an extreme example, but that's not to say that that hasn't happened. You know, and I'm definitely not throwing myself off a building. You're going to have to work a lot harder than that to get rid of me, but you get what I'm saying. You know, the little ways in which we show appreciation and kindness to one another actually do matter and they do stack up. But also, again, to remind everybody out there, when you repeatedly ignore those little kindnesses and those little interactions, people will stop doing them. Case in point, these giveaways. It's like, hey, this is going to be just something where it's just like, I'm just treated like this is what I'm supposed to do. This is not my obligation. You know what I mean? I'm doing this because I feel like it's a good thing to do, but I'm under no contract to do this. So I could just stop doing it all of a sudden. And people are like, well, what happened? I'm like, yeah, you didn't appreciate it. So it doesn't exist anymore. I mean, that's a very real thing that can happen. And I mean, I am going to be cutting back at the very least on the monthly giveaways. I had stopped doing it for a while because I just wasn't pulling in the money. And now it's the same kind of situation all over again, thanks to COVID. Thanks to COVID was where I first did it. And now thanks to just this wonderful economy that, you know, this administration has put in place here in the United States of America. Yeah, it's getting to be that point again where it's becoming untenable. Like I can't justify the expense because I'm not bringing in the money. And of course, the guy who is one of the top contributors to this terrifying administration is also the guy who owns the platform on which I stream. So looking for some alternatives there, as well as Discord too. Some of you guys have heard me mention Discord. Now, I don't talk about Discord on the podcast really, or I don't put notes out for it or invites for it, mainly because it's a slightly smaller community. It's more insulated and it has nothing to do with the podcast necessarily. Now there may be a time when I would create like a community, like an interactive chatting community like that, but it won't be on Discord because Discord is starting to be a problem. And one of the biggest problems that we're having with Discord in particular is that they're now starting to require age identification for people who use the platform, which is not great. One of the biggest issues that I have with that is I don't like people just being forced to hand over their personal information, including, you know, I really don't like biometric data identification. That bothers me a lot. But I also don't really care for, you know, just give me your ID for what? Are you a governmental agency? No? Then no. You know, I've done it before, and every time I've done it, I've looked at it and been like, why am I doing this shit? And it's become one of those things where that's why I'm so adamant about it now, because I had that kind of like frog in a pot syndrome where I had been sitting in the crucible of letting, you know, take a little bit there, take a little bit there, take a little bit there. And they just take and take and take and nitpick and nitpick and nitpick until before you know it, you know what I mean? You've given away your entire life just for what? What am I getting in return for this, right? Like one of the first ones to do it, actually, strangely, was a company I'm going to talk about in a little bit, Blizzard Entertainment. When it came down to the, I think it was like the second or third year of Overwatch being a game, they were having a lot of issues with like cheaters and people hacking, you know, and network manipulation, things like that. It's trying to be a little bit more proactive than other companies have been in the past. Bungie! about like combating online cheating. And so they were doing this thing where if you had a Blizzard account, in order to maintain your Blizzard account, you'd have to send in a picture of your, you know, state issued ID or something like that, in order to, you know, basically update your account and keep it active. And I did it back at the time. I'm like, it's not really that big of a deal. I mean, who's it hurting really? Also, I was like super poor and broke. I'm like, if somebody, you know, gets my identity, they're gonna pay me to give it back. Like, my credit is shit. You know what I mean? And, like, what do I care? I was kind of in a dark place, too, like, mentally and emotionally. I was like, I don't give a fuck. Whatever happens, as long as I can play my game, I don't really give a shit what else happens to me today or tomorrow. Which is, again, a very dangerous and stupid way to think. But I've been like, yeah, maybe it's time to, like, not do that anymore. Especially over the last, like, decade or so. So like last decade to 15 years, I've been like, no, that's enough. I think I've done enough. I think we've all done enough, and it's time for this shit to stop. So yeah, I've been pushing back on that a lot too. But Discord is doing the same thing now. And without providing a state-issued or government-issued ID and, you know, some other criteria that they're looking for, they're going to be locking people out of age-restricted servers or even age-restricted channels on a server. Now, while my server isn't necessarily age-restricted, I do have some age-restricted channels in the server because, again, while we do have some younger people, and we did at one point have a couple of people who are in their teens whose parents were like, yeah, you can be a part of this, or who were part of the Discord and they had a teenage, you know, daughter or son or whatever, they were like, they would love this community too. Did still have to have age-restricted channels just for the very sake of, like, if you're in here and you're doing shit you ain't got no business doing, we put this little barricade up and be like, hey, man, what you see in here is your fucking fault. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be responsible for you because you got, you know, nosy and had your nose in some place where it didn't belong. I've done my due diligence, said this is age-restricted, told you these are the parameters of this, and if you've broken that and I'm not, you know, I'm not going to sit here and hold you down and check your license either. Then that's on you. You've broken a contract with us and our personal trust. And if you find out that's the case, you'll be removed and blocked from the server. Period. You know, that's going to be the action. The enforcement action is you've broken a trust by lying to us. And that's something that could get other people in trouble. That could get other people in like legal, not even just in like trouble within the group or the community, but in legal entanglements. Because they assume that you're operating as an adult and you're not, you will be banned and removed from the channel. And if there's any way to do it, you know what I mean? If it seems like it calls for it, I would definitely refer them to whatever local authorities I could find or whatever, even up to and including reporting them to the Discord, you know, management. Like, hey, this person's violating terms of service, violating a, you know, tacit agreement amongst us, and they can't be trusted. So you need to find them and get rid of them. I'm not above that because it's the same kind of reason why, like, when I was, you know, in my, late 20s to, like, very, like, near my early 30s, when I would go out on dates with people, I would have to be, like, I would fake, like, I didn't remember their name, and then I would say, like, no, like, you're, like, oh, you're, like, I'm a Pisces, now get the fuck out of here, let me see your ID, I want to see a proof of birth, you know? I need to see, like, a government ID, a passport, something, and this way I could check their age. Because, you know what I mean? Like, especially when you work in cities Like the capacity for you to run across somebody who's using a fake ID or who's misrepresenting their age to get into somewhere where they have no business necessarily being is very scary. And for, you know, especially a man and also like a Black and Latino man, the last thing I'm going to do is get caught up because, you know, here I am 27 out here partying or whatever. And let's say I go to like a club, which I didn't really go to clubs. Let's just say I decided to go to a club and I meet some girl. I think, oh, maybe she's like in her like early 20s, like 20, 22, 23, whatever. And then I find out she's really only 17. I'm not going to jail for that. I'm going to find out you're 17. I'm going to be like, hey, this ID's fake, so fuck off. I'm not going to jail for this shit. So same thing applies here. And I get where Discord's coming from, where they want to make sure people are doing this, that, and the other. But also, the way they're doing going about it is also very invasionary because, like, who's getting this information afterwards? Because you know you're not just sitting on this shit. You know what I mean? Most companies are selling your data and your personal information to other information brokers. That's why you get all kinds of weird email ads and phone calls and all this other bullshit, because somewhere down the line, you've given your name, number, email address, social security number, or, you know, driver's license or whatever to somebody or some entity along the way, and they've turned around and sold it to another company as an information broker, and then they're selling that to whoever they can to make more money so that they don't have to bother really getting a job. They just trade in other people's personal lives and information. But Discord doing this is actually a problem because, like I said, well, on the one hand, I do understand their idea, and it's really a misguided one, in trying to say, we're going to protect the children. You could protect the children before we get to this point. And if the children are in there, you could actually put it upon, you know, the people who are, you know, running and operating these servers, people like myself and like the mods there. And like, hey, we're going to let you have the opportunity to create age-restricted servers and channels, and we're also going to leave this at your feet. Part of our agreement is if some fuck shit goes on your side, that is a you problem. And you're not going to come back to us and be like, Discord, let me do it. And like, no. Each and every one of you is responsible for maintaining the integrity of your community and following the agreements that you've laid out. So if you can create an age-restricted channel and somebody breaks those rules, that's between you and them and whatever legality you got to deal with. That got shit to do with us. That'd be like suing the Parks Department because, you know, a pedophile got out there and was trying to touch little kids. Like, the Parks Department has nothing to do with the fact that that guy got in there. You know what I mean? Like, it's a public utility, basically. You know, it's public ass. It's free for everybody to get a hold of. Same kind of thing with Discord. Discord is just the playground. We're the kids and the bad actors are the touchy peoples. So, you know what I mean? Like, at what point is it whose responsibility, right? I'm not saying it's the kids' responsibility if something happens to them on the park, but somebody has to be watching out for them, right? That'd be the parents. The parents would be the mods, the people who run the server. Those would be the ones to look out for, the people on the playground, and to keep the touchy people away. So it would fall to me. It would fall to my moderators to help out and to monitor that kind of situation and to nip it in the bud. Discord taking it upon themselves is a step too far. And the information that they're asking for is too invasion. It's too invasive to, in good conscience, continue to use them anymore. So to that end, we've been looking at like some different servers or some different alternatives to using Discord. And one of the things I'm looking for right now is like, what are the alternatives that are out there and how much better are they than one another? The real screwy thing is there's not a lot of wonderful options out there. There's some that are better than others and there are some that are decidedly worse than Discord. But it's going to take a little while to kind of sort through them. And I think that the real screwy thing is the ones that I like or that I'm curious and interested in are the ones that I think might end up not including the kinds of functionality that we were hoping for, But I'll leave a link for this in the description of the podcast so you guys can tell me, what do you think? Do you have any other suggestions? Do you have you used one of these services that's listed in this article that I'm going to share? If so, I'd love to hear your feedback. I really, really would. And then, you know, if I can find one, I'm looking to try to knock this out because they're trying to move this forward at the beginning of March. If I can find the right one, it's one less thing for me to have to fight with later, you know? I'd rather have that happen sooner than later. But yeah. Like I said, these kinds of things are scary because, you know, the more people dig into your lives, the more they, you know, kind of get too close in a way, it all this stuff kind of comes home. And especially if we don't hold people accountable for the bad shit that they do, then everything becomes suspect and scary. I know I've mentioned before that ICE agents have been cited in my local area. And that's a scary thing in and of itself. Like I said, just for humanity, not even just for me personally, but just for humankind, ICE is a terrorist organization. They should be defunded, and everybody who works for them, in my personal estimation, especially the agents who are on the ground in places like Minneapolis, Chicago, Boston, Baltimore, wherever they are, Jacksonville, San Francisco, San Diego, those guys need to be, you know, brought in front of a court. Because almost every one of them is about 70% of them are bags of shit who just wanted to get a $50,000 bonus and be able to, you know, arrest and or shoot, we'll say people of color. Like they get a legalized pass to shoot people of color. Just so happened that a couple of white people got eaten by the machine too. And, that's so unfortunate. Yeah, of course it is. Obviously it's unfortunate. But you know that's the way this thing goes, right? But recently I was on my way back from doing some groceries, some grocery runs. And, as I'm driving, I see this like dark gray SUV pulling up behind me. And normally this wouldn't be a cause for concern. There's a lot of dark SUVs around here. There's a lot of people who drive SUVs in general. And I wasn't really thinking anything of it until I started noticing that every time I shifted lanes, this guy was like right behind me. If I went over, like, if I was in the travel lane, the center lane, basically, and I moved to the left, he moved to the left. If I moved to the right, he moved to the right. So I was starting to get a little nervous about why is he following me, and then I started looking in my rearview mirror, and I'm like, those windows are kind of dark. That dude's wearing some shades. And then I look at the front of the vehicle as I pull up to a red light to stop, and he's got two little bars with these little LEDs on them, built into the front grate of his vehicle. I'm like, that's an undercover cop. Or at least it looks like an undercover cop, but it's definitely not like a regular police officer. I know what they look like. And so I'm like, oh, okay, great. So he's bird dogging me. So I take off at one point. Just pick up the speed just enough to be like, I'm obeying the law, but he just still got to do a little work to keep up behind me. And then right as I'm getting ready to move, you know, it looks like I'm not going to make the move to just keep going through the light. I pull off to make a left turn into a grocery store. But I pull off at speed, so he's like, I think he had to readjust, like, I'm like, there's no law that says I can't, you know, shift lanes at, you know, 55 miles an hour. And then he was behind me. So when I pulled into the grocery store, I just, again, kept the pedal pressed down, didn't go over the speed limit, but it was like just pushing it to where, like, this could be scary, it could be screwy. But you know, he was trying to keep up with me. And then when I busted a couple of left turns and he was like, ha, I pulled up and parked as close to the grocery store as I could. There's two reasons to do this. One, it's easier to get in and out of the fucking grocery store when you're closer to the front than farther away at the back. And then two, all the cameras for security are right up there at the front. So if any shit goes down, they're going to catch this cop doing whatever it is. I'm taking my time to get out of the car. And as I'm getting up, I notice this guy is like parked near the back. And he comes a jogging up. I'm like, oh, what's up, man? You just, what's going down, homie? Like, looking at him like, yeah, yeah. Little doughy ass that you gonna give me, huh? Nope. And just gave him a good nod and walked right past him. Like, he's like, because he was ready to move. Except for all them extra donuts was weighing around that gut. You gotta wear that belt and that bulletproof vest. That ballistic vest, I hate calling them bulletproof vests. They're not bulletproof. But you got a ballistic vest, you got, you know, that wet belt with all the gear, taser, handcuffs, pepper spray, sidearm, them heavy-ass shoes, that hot polyester-ass uniform. I've been there before. That shit gets heavy, that shit gets hot. I was like, yeah, I can move nice and free, baby. You got a t-shirt and shorts on, I can move. But yeah, I'm not gonna lie. When I got back home, I was like, okay, just all the hibbity jibbities just unraveled on me, dude. It was crazy. And that was just one instance where a cop followed me when I wasn't doing nothing at all, obviously. But I didn't know. I didn't know who it was. I didn't know what he was doing. And it wasn't until I actually got into the parking lot that I could see him in his, you know, sheriff's uniform. But when you're sitting in your car, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're about. And also, just because you're police doesn't mean you're good people. There's lots of shitty police out there. We know that. So it was a fucking harrowing experience. I'm not going to lie. It was really screwy. But it has been really funny, like funny and also infuriating to watch like what's happening in the news too. Because like I said, a lot of this stuff is kind of political, but politics affects my life, affects your lives too, whether you know it or not. It has been pretty interesting to watch how things are shaking out. Not from a ha ha ha, this is amazing standpoint, but more like a holy shit, what the fuck is going on? I need to know what's happening standpoint. I've had a lot of people who are just like, well, I don't like to get involved in politics. Here's the thing. I've said this before and I'll say it again. And it doesn't make friends, but I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to tell you what I think. And insofar as I can prove it, what I found to be true and right. A lot of times when people say they don't want to talk about politics, it's because their own personal politics are kind of fucked up. And they usually know, like, if I talk about it, you're going to call me out on it and I'm going to feel like a bad person. And they don't want to feel like a bad person. But usually that means they hold some bad person thoughts in their head and they just don't want you to know about it. The alternate circumstance is I don't want to talk about politics because I don't know what I'm talking about, period. It's not that I don't want to talk about politics. I'll talk about anything if I have at least some knowledge about it. But I don't know what I'm talking about. And usually when it comes to me, this is often the case, I found. They're like, I know that you do. And I know that once you start talking, I'm going to feel dumb. And the only thing I'll have to lean back on is rhetoric and vitriol. But I won't have any facts or anything like that. And for someone like you, Link, that's not going to be enough. You're going to rip me apart. I'm going to feel bad. I'm going to feel stupid. And then I'm not going to want to talk to you anymore. And you're definitely not going to want to talk to me. And that's true. That's actually pretty true. But I do talk about politics because it does matter. And like I said, it matters a lot now. American citizens are being shot and deported. That's not a great look. Speaking of which, we have a man now, Jeffrey Wade, a veteran and also a 50-year resident of the United States. He's a legal U.S. resident and an Army vet, came over here legally from Jamaica when he was a teenager in 75, got detained one day for failing to use a turn signal and not having his driver's license on him. Little ticky-tack thing, could have just been a ticket, you know what I mean? Could have been like, we'll cite you to appear, whatever, you can argue your case, pay a fine, whatever. Instead, that thing escalated, and then he was remanded to the custody of ICE, and now he's going to be deported. Although he had a honorable discharge from the United States Army and has been a longstanding citizen of the United States and has familial ties to the community. One of the things they always try to do, though, when it comes to, especially like I said, they're deporting this guy back to Jamaica, a black or a brown person. They always try to dig through your past and see how bad of a person you were first before they say anything. So they had mentioned at one point he had been part of a domestic altercation, not domestic violence, by the way, just a domestic altercation where there was like, you know, some milk thrown around and some dishes thrown on the floor, but nobody was actually physically attacked or assaulted. It was back in like 2014 or whatever. And it was with his ex-wife. And he's like, that since then, you know what I mean? The incident was de-escalated. They went on and had like a good working relationship between the ex-wife and the kids that they had together. And now, you know, he's being just, you know, railroaded, right? Little shit, piddly shit, stuff that like almost anybody with a little bit of dirt under their fingernails probably has. Maybe you got like a, you know, a shoplifting charge when you're a teenager. Maybe you had a DUI once when you're in your like late 20s or whatever. You know, some little shit. They find that and they run with it. And that's the reason why they got it. There's a criminal, illegal alien. Except for one, he's not a criminal. And two, he had an honorable service record with the United States Army. So, miss me with all that bullshit. They said instead of a routine citation, he was arrested. And soon discovered that he would not be able to post bond. When you try to bond out, they usually have you pay a fee. And then they let you roll out. But ICE has now put a hold on the individual. So they get to decide whether you can or can't bond out. That's fucking nuts. It's not even an immigration issue at this point. Remember, this guy's a legal resident, so it has nothing to do with immigration. It's everything to do with the fact that he's black. Because otherwise, they could have just been like, this isn't even our fucking mandate. We got no issue being here. They were just looking for brown people to arrest and to get rid of. Because they have to meet quotas too. Whether you believe that or not, they've actually had other ICE agents admit, one, they have to meet quotas. Two, they hate going to work because they're like, yo, we're getting yelled at. We're getting shit thrown at us. Even if we're not the people doing the murders or doing all the other shit, because we're ICE, we're getting this fucking hell thrown at us. And I'm like, Cry Me a River, Justin, nobody gives a fuck. You signed up for this shitty ass job to be shitty ass people. So guess what? You get shitty ass treatment. But now Wade's back in Jamaica. So they deported this man. They said he had an immigration case that was pending for him, and they put out a warrant for his arrest for not appearing, but the problem was the original court order was sent to an incorrect address, and because that happened, and the government fucked up, they've denied this man his due process, his redress in court, and his freedom as a United States citizen by deporting him to Jamaica. And of course, you know, as of now, ICE has not responded to comments. Why would they? Who's being held accountable? Who watches the Watchmen? I'm telling you, if you guys haven't started watching, you need to go one. Find the movie The Watchmen or the book or even the television series on HBO. You need to go watch that and pay attention to what's happening there. It's not just a superhero story. There's a lot of other layers to this whole mythology that I think would be are one, very timely and relevant here in this day and age, but two, are often misunderstood or overlooked by people who are just looking for, you know, spandex and superpowers kind of entertainment. It tells a bigger, broader story, and you should definitely check it out. So if you could find the book, I highly recommend getting the graphic novels and reading them. If you can't do that, at least watch the movie and the TV show. It will definitely, if you're paying attention to it, it'll definitely make you ask some questions you hadn't thought of before. And it's crazy, though, but like I said, this kind of shit's happening all over the place. I mean, we've got, the video that President Trump wasn't a staffer. Let's get that shit out the way before we start lying to ourselves. It was not a staffer that went into his bedroom at damn near midnight to post some weird-ass video. That was him. That was him in his delusional state. Posting that video of the Obamas with their heads superimposed on apes. That was all him. But I love the lie. You got to love it. You know, at least they're going to be like, they lie like children lie. You ever catch a kid in the middle? Like if you've ever been a kid and your mom catches you like eating frosting off the cake. And she's like, did you eat the frosting off the cake? And you're like, but you got chocolate smears all over your fucking face and hands. That's how they lie. They lie like that. They lie like the way little kids lie when they get caught. It's so embarrassing and so dumb. But at the same time, it is slightly amusing because I'm like, you really think we're dumb, don't you? You think we're going to fall for this? Like again, like when they were like, she tried to run him over with her car, talking about Renee Good. Motherfucker, I don't know what physics class you took or what driver's ed you went to, but she wasn't trying to do any of that shit. And also, if you're a cop and you see a moving vehicle, you should be like Ludacris and move, bitch. Get out the way. That's his own dumbass fault. And the fact that he got dragged back in June last year, that's also his dumbass fault too. Should have no business as a person trying to attack a fucking car. Once it starts moving, disengage, dumbass. I don't feel bad for him at all. Fuck that guy, seriously. You keep fucking around, he's gonna get run over for real one day though. But anyway, I just don't like the lying to my face kind of shit. That's another thing I can't stand. One, I can't stand ungrateful people. And people who can't acknowledge, you know, when something kind and good is being done for them. That kind of shit makes me fucking nuts. But the other thing I really hate is people play in my face like I'm stupid. I hate having my intelligence undermined or questioned like that. I've had people do this shit to me, and I don't know what it is about me or my face or whatever that makes people think it's okay. But they'll talk to me like I'm dumb, or like I don't know shit, or like I couldn't figure shit out. You know what I mean? Everybody's got at least one friend who got to ask everybody a question when they have the idiot, when they literally have a supercomputer in their pocket that could give them, at least point them in the direction of the right answers, they got to constantly ask you for shit. And they ask for you for shit on the thing that has the answers. You got like the whole, you got almost the sum total of the collective world's information at your fingertips, and you're going to text Frank? Man, read that shit for yourself, dog. But people act like sometimes when maybe it's just because I'm not as aggressive as maybe I should be or could be. But people act a lot of times like I'm stupid. And like that really pisses me off. One of the things that makes me even madder is when people like don't bother to read just a little bit of information. I had this happen more than a handful of times recently. When I'll say something, and then somebody who wasn't paying attention and wasn't involved in the conversation at all will come in and be like, and then you should think about, I'm like, I literally just said that and you're not paying attention. So why don't you shut the fuck up? Okay. That's how I feel. I don't say that, but I do feel that way. I'm like, you ain't even paying attention. You weren't even in this in the first place. I don't know why you're flapping your gums right now. But also, since you weren't paying attention, what you should do is shut what I like to call the fuck up. And until you caught up on the rest of the reading that the class has been doing, shh. No. That drives me fucking crazy. I hate that shit. Anyway, all that to say, I don't deal with the lies of, you know, so and so did this, so and so said that. I'm like, I read what they said. I seen what's on the videos. I know how to, you know, process information as a rational adult. Just because Grandpa Orange Hands can't do it and he has to take cognitive tests and pass them every week, you know, like a child is, you know, that don't got shit to do with me. As somebody pointed out earlier, the reason he's having so many cognitive tests is not because he's so sharp. It's because they're monitoring the decline of his brain. You know what I mean? Like, they don't keep giving you x-rays, you know, over and over again after you break your leg. If your leg is working, you're able to walk and jog just fine. If you start limping more, then they go like, we need to see what's going on here. That's what's happening to his brain. His brain's mush, so they're giving him these tests to see how much of it is mush and how much of it is still brain. That's what's happening. But yeah, people be trying to fuck with everybody like Jake Paul after the Super Bowl halftime show, which, by the way, congratulations to Bad Bunny. I think now being the second highest viewed Super Bowl halftime show of all time, right after Kendrick Lamar. I mean, he's up there with like Kendrick Lamar, Michael Jackson, Aerosmith. He's up there with the greats. So congratulations to him. And also, I'll say this, for putting on a largely respectful and civic-minded show. Yeah, you're going to have Latinas shaking their booties and stuff like that. There's going to be people dancing and grinding on each other provocatively. One, it is the Super Bowl. Two, it's a Latino performer. Like, Latinos really love that kind of, like, you know, sensual kind of dancing, which is, hey, man, I'm for it. So it's, but it wasn't anywhere, ain't nobody titty come out. It wasn't a Janet Jackson Super Bowl, you know what I mean? And by and large, he was telling the story of him You know, he's basically singing a story about him and about community, about, you know, the way our government, because he's also an American citizen, for you dopes who don't know that Puerto Rico is an American colony. Yeah, he's an American citizen. Just because you can't speak Spanish doesn't mean that he's not, he's not worthy of being an American citizen. It doesn't make him a fake citizen, as Jake Paul's stupid ass said. And this is another one of them dumbass moments. We had a Trump moment. He was like, somebody got my phone. He's like, what happened on Twitter last night? Bitch, you happened. He made this horrible tweet, like basically saying that Bad Bunny was a fake American. And, you know, everything he did in the halftime show was just anti-American and, you know, and self-aggrandizing and all this other shit, to the point where his own brother, Logan Paul, was like, I love my brother, but I can't stand behind this shit right here. Logan Paul, the same guy who went over to Japan and walked through a haunted, quote unquote, haunted forest and disrespected a national, it'd be basically like if somebody tried to walk up to Old Faithful and take a piss in it. That was how they viewed it. They're like, you're being super disrespectful right now to one of our national parks, and you have to get the fuck out. That guy who's trying to film YouTube content there and acting an ass over there, that guy said, yo, man, that's the wrong way to move. I think it's because Logan Paul's been in the reticle of enough, like he's been in the sights of enough scandals and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Just, they're like, he's like, there's a way to move. This ain't it. But yeah, Jake Paul tried to like Trump his way out of that. Oh, I don't know what's going on. I'd like to clarify. Wait a minute, because I said, and he did that like twice. Where he's trying to like say, oh, right, what I really meant to say was, and then like what happened was, and then the next day he's like, guys, what's going on with Twitter? What the heck, man? Everybody's like, man, shut your dumb ass up. You know that was you. It's trying to act cute in our face. I hate that shit. And it was funny that, like, you know, the Super Bowl was just terrible. It was just a really weak, low-scoring game. But the funny thing about it was that Bad Bunny was fucking everybody up, man. The people who were there for it were having a good old time. The people who were not there for it were having them a bad old time. The people who said they weren't going to watch it did watch it, like President Trump. So many other, Kevin Sorbo was another one that was tweeting, was like, you should just all turn away from the halftime show. And then fucking Used to Be Hercules was like, what a terrible, worst halftime show ever. How the fuck would you know? Huh? You said it right after it happened. So that means you was watching it. It wasn't like you saw it the next day on YouTube. You was watching it right then. Y'all were responding in real time. So we know you watched it. You know what y'all didn't watch? Y'all didn't watch Kid Rock's All-American Halftime Show. Yeah, you know that one they were talking all that bullshit about? The one that got pulled off Twitter/X because it didn't have the right licensing agreements? These dopes didn't think that far in advance to be like, we should probably plan to make sure we can release this out here, right? Nope. These idiots didn't even have the right agreements to do that shit on their homeboy's platform. And then here's the other funky thing about it. Because these idiots are so goddamn dumb and they believe the rest of you are too, they didn't even do it live. They lied about it being live. They pre-recorded the entire thing. They pre-recorded it and it still stunk. They had production value. There was a budget to get that shit. They hired some extras and then they had them kind of dance around in the background while they filmed this thing in basically a barn. And Kid Rock's dumbass couldn't even sing his own song. He lip synced over his own shit and then forgot that he had to keep saying words. What a fucking dope. They're so dumb. And it's so funny that they think that we're that dumb too. That's what happens though when you lie like that. Because here's the thing too. Like I said, when they like, oh, we didn't do this. We didn't do it. We're going to do that. We're going to try to make America great again with our little dumbass halftime show. Why? Just save your money. You know what I mean? You're going to need it after all the concert dates start dropping for your Rock the Country tour. But save your money and just don't watch the shit. You know what I mean? You ain't got to be out there like that. Just save your money. The staffer lie is also weird and dangerous. One, it's dumb. You really expect us to believe you let somebody else have your phone that late? And especially, you know what I mean? Just some random staffer is doing this shit for you? Because if that's not the case, then you like, oh, I got hacked. Well, how easy is it to hack the president's phone? the president's phone. I'll say that again. The president's phone was compromised. You thought Pete Hegseth was a problem with the signal gate and him giving away shit? No. The president of these United States couldn't keep his own fucking Twitter and Truth Social shit together. If some random Stafford kid could get a hold of it and do that, what the fuck else can they get a hold of? That's dangerous. That shouldn't just be a oopsie. They should find this man and hang him in the streets. Oh, but that's not happening. You know why? Because the staffer actually sits behind the Resolute desk at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. That man did it. Trying to lie on somebody else. They ain't shit. And I think that reporters need to grow some spines and start pushing back on these motherfuckers, because every time they let him kind of sneak away and like let him slide with a question that they didn't answer, it gives them one more reason to not answer questions. And it gives them one more reason to dodge the accountability that they need to be holding up to. You know, Caitlin Collins is actually a pretty good one from CNN, although CNN is mostly trash now. It used to be okay maybe like about 5-6 years ago. But because everybody's worried about getting an FCC license pulled or whatever, or, you know, they've got too many other entanglements, they can't keep themselves honest. They can't keep themselves above reproach. Here's how much they aren't above reproach right now, as we're speaking right now. As we're speaking, there was a subcommittee hearing with Pam Bondi, and she was obviously lying through her teeth. And she was being disrespectful, and she was disengaging with the questions that were being asked. Like, they're asking her a question, and she would twist it and run it to some other direction, talk about a subject or a topic that wasn't on the point of the question. And then, you know, you've got Jim Jordan, who's a Republican shill for Donald Trump, a sycophant, and has no business running a subcommittee or a hearing. They're just sitting there basically stroking each other off in public, which, I mean, if there's anything more pornographic than watching the way that they can't stop gargling one another's balls and Trump's balls at the same time, that's porn. Bad Bunny's dancing, you know, even the dudes, you know, making out in the truck while they were dancing was less pornographic than the way that they're for Trump and one another. But yeah, that whole time, you know, I'm watching that. And then right as they're in the middle of the cutaway, and there's a commercial for fucking ice. CNN is running commercials. Here's the thing. I was pretty sure that governmental agencies weren't supposed to be kind of running that kind of stuff on a news channel. This is like a news channel. It's not like, you know, they ran this shit on like CBS, which is just a television network. CNN is a news channel. You know what I mean? And they were running this on, like, you know, Nickelodeon. You're putting out advertisements to join your fucking band of Gestapo soldiers on CNN. CNN is becoming state-sponsored media. And they're sponsoring the very same kind of shit that they should be platforming against, because it's unconstitutional, it's inhumane, it's illegal to murder people. ICE, I don't know if you thick-headed fools haven't gotten this shit yet. It's still illegal to commit murder. But they ain't gonna listen to that shit, right? And the fact that CNN actually had the ad on there, what made me want to fucking puke. Ugh, God, it's enough. Anyway, that's enough of that shit. I am going to have to find some joy in this, because it's about time to wrap this bad boy up. You know what is cool? I will say, there's this video of an extreme apology that's been circulating recently. And this is crazy. It's out of Japan, and it's during a volleyball game, the men's volleyball game. And one of the sideline, she's not a coach. She wasn't like an equipment manager or whatever. I think she's like the equipment manager. You know, hand out towels, water, you know, check to make sure that the balls are properly inflated so they don't have a deflate gate over there. Was standing on the sideline, and this guy was practicing serves, and he pulled up, popped a serve, and blasted this girl right in the head. I mean, she took a full-on dinger. And dude saw it, and as it was coming her way, she couldn't move out of the way. He ran forward, dove to the ground, and slid on his face under the net right to her feet to apologize, like with his face down. I was like, whoa. That was a lot, but I mean, imagine how bad, imagine if she had gotten hurt worse. I think it was mostly just, he was, obviously, he was regretful for what happened. It was totally an accident. But, like, the fact that he was like, I'm going to do this, is like, oh, fuck, this is how bad this made me feel. I'm sliding on my fucking face to apologize. That kind of humility is rare. I mean, it was kind of funny to watch, and it was definitely a viral moment. But, you know, the way he kept, and when even when he found out she was okay, he kept bowing and apologizing and bowing and apologizing and checking back on her every now and again, like, are you sure you're okay? Some accountability like that would be fucking nice, wouldn't it? You guys have to see the video if you haven't. It's actually really, it's funny, but it's also kind of heartwarming in a way, because you're like, damn, man, more people should be like that. You know what I mean? Like, probably people in government, you know what I mean? In positions of power, you know? Even like adults, teachers, you know what I mean? Like parents, teachers, bosses, they should, you know, people in positions of authority should be more willing to be like, hey, I've made a mistake and I apologize. That should be a thing that we should do. It's too bad that it's not happening all the time. I will say this though, like I said, that was really dope. One thing that's also pretty dope is there's new stuff in Overwatch right now. We'll go to video game stuff to wrap this up. Now, again, I've always enjoyed Overwatch as a game. It was harder to enjoy Overwatch during the troubles with Activision Blizzard and, you know, the CEOs and the C-suite people having weird sex parties and, you know, abusing interns and other employees and the egregious amounts of money that they were shoveling away and all the corruption in that agency. Once Xbox took them over, it seemed like it kind of simmered down a little bit, but then Xbox stopped being Xbox. And Blizzard is still charging fucking ungodly amounts of money for cosmetics in their game. We could talk about that till the cows come home, but if you already heard me talk about it, you don't want to hear it again. Anyway, just suffice it to say, not a whole lot has changed in terms of the way that Blizzard has approached the player base with regard to their monetary structure. Their games as a service thing is I think games as a service has become a real problem for the gaming industry. And I'll have to do a video where I just talk just about that. Maybe I'll be a Patreon exclusive kind of thing. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But one thing they're doing right is they're recognizing that there was really never such a thing as Overwatch 2. Overwatch 2 was essentially just like a downloadable content pack. Or like an expansion pass that they just kept building on. It never changed the game fundamentally. Even with some of the minor twerks and tweaks that they made to various modes, the addition of some others, the pulling away of some of other factions and whatnot, the way that they've retooled the competitive rankings, they've basically just been fine-tuning Overwatch from the very beginning. They haven't really changed the core structure of the game. It's not fundamentally different. So lately they've been going back like, hey, there's a lot of things you guys have been asking for since Overwatch 2 has been out. So we're just going to be doing like basically a rollback. They rolled it back. They've gotten rid of the 2. They're not actually calling it Overwatch 3 or Overwatch 2.5. It's just now Overwatch. They brought back the old original title cards, which I thought was really cool. Just like a nice reference back to where the game's roots are. Refreshed user interface, which is, I mean, 6 to 1, a dozen the other. The one thing I will say is that it's a lot easier to see stuff on their screens now. Not crazily so. They always have like kind of like this really weird white background with like a white. I don't know who thought of white on white for, you know, making selections in a menu interface. If anything, it should have been like gold or, you know, like a light blue color, like Overwatch, like a hazy, like backlit kind of blue, neon blue color. Nope, they went with white. Yeah, it was really stupid. And I think that it's a little better now. It's not 100% great. They've introduced 5 new characters, which I haven't had a chance to play yet, but I will try to play over the week and see what I think about the new ones. And if you've played them, let me know what you think. Like I said, you can email me over at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Free to follow. You can join for just $3 if you'd like. But in either way, you can leave me a message and I'll read it. Free or paid, I don't care. I just want to talk to you guys and get some feedback. But yeah, I did manage to play a couple of the newer characters that are coming up for just a little bit in the practice modes in the target arena and whatnot. The new character, Mizuki, has this crazy Kama-style weapon. If you don't know what a Kama is, K-A-M-A, it's basically like a sickle, but it fires off blades and it can be reloaded. It's a really cool-looking weapon. Also does some healing support stuff with a pretty decent high damage rate. There's Anran was another character that I got to play. She's got like fire-based powers and abilities. Fights with two fans. One of the fans, like one of the modes for the fans, actually does like damage on hit, and then the other one, once you've done damage, it causes like a burn status effect. And the using the other fan kind of helps literally fan the flames and cause more burn damage to happen over time. She's pretty interesting to try as well. And I tried some of the older characters that are newer characters to me because I hadn't used them before. And I think I might have to mess around with Juno a little bit. Kind of a speedster healer. Basically is almost as an answer to the tracer problem, which was pretty interesting to see. Like a slightly increased movement capability as far as speed, the ability to hover when holding the jump button after a jump, the ability to gain a triple jump after stacking a couple of perks, and her damage output is insane because not only can she cause damage and heal with the same blaster, but the blaster fires at such an insane rate of speed that it can chew through most opponents who aren't, especially if you're caught unawares. Most opponents usually have about 250 HP, somewhere in that range, 250, like 350. And I think the tanks can get up as high as like 600 to 800. But being able to chew through most of the stock characters in the game in just literally a matter of seconds. I mean, maybe like 3 seconds of concentrated fire can eat most characters. And then being able to heal your compatriots at the same time. I'm surprised that I haven't heard more people talk about her, and I'm curious to try to play her too. But we'll see how it all shakes out. Like I said, oh, the other thing I forgot was really interesting is for Mizuki. One, he's got the cool little sampan kind of hat. It's like futuristic style. It's almost got like a little visor built into the front. But he could throw the hat, and then throwing the hat can chain to up to three allies at once if you have the right perks. But he also has this ability that allows him to gain extra movement speed. And when movement abilities, this is a thing that's unique to this particular class of character. When you use their movement abilities, they start health regeneration. So you can get damaged, and then you use this movement ability. There he takes off running, but from the point where he uses it, he drops a small little paper talisman, like a little doll of himself. And he's got like a few seconds of accelerated movement speed where he can run and zip around and do some damage, and then he can activate the ability one more time, and it rewinds you all the way back to the point of origin where you started using the ability. Pretty sneaky. I'm sure it's going to be really aggravating for people who use it instead of being like a solely horizontal ability. If you're able to use it and get yourself into a role where verticality is going to be a problem, like you've changed levels, like you go up above and or below your enemy's position, using that can allow you to rewind back to your point of origin. Even so much so that you could basically lure your enemies towards like a drop point where you fall off the world or something like that. And I've seen a guy do it where he did it. He ran, jumped off the edge of the world, but because the ability hadn't had a chance to run all the way out, he was able to trigger it and it brought him all the way back to safety behind the enemy he was chasing, and he was able to take him out. So anyway, those kinds of things are really cool. I'm very excited for the new direction of Overwatch. Somebody in Overwatch, turn down the fucking juice on these cosmetics, man. Seriously. $30, $40, $50, $60 for cosmetics? This is stupid. You're making a lot of money. You will make even more if you drop the rate at which you sell them. Trust me, I've seen it before. I don't know why they're being so greedy with the shit, but it also precludes a lot of people who would ordinarily spend money on your game from being able to do so. So get your head out of your ass. and out of your wallets and listen to the people. We're telling you, make this shit cheaper. We will spend money. I want Hello Kitty shit. I do. I might even put a link to those so you can check them out too. Anyway, it's time to roll, baby. Thank you guys for another wonderful episode. I appreciate you listening. And like I said, you'll have to keep an eye out for me, twitch.tv/linkib. I'm not going to be streaming on a regular basis through the month of February, but I will return in March. And I hope that I will see you guys there as well. Again, thank you for all the support and all the love. Comment, rate, subscribe, all that jazz. Send me messages over on Patreon, patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. And I look forward to talking to you guys again next week. I'm Link IB. I'm Link Flores. You are all awesome. And I will catch you guys a little further on down the road. Peace.